by the way, Kay, I've been here now for about an hour. Would you mind terribly if I went out and grabbed a sandwich?
How long will it take you?
Well, a ham sandwich will take me 5 minutes, a cheese sandwich will take me about 10 minutes, and a bologna sandwich will take me 15 minutes.
Go and grab yourself a triple decker.
I love that boy.
Meantime, man, here's a tune that ought to lead itself a little U-tied heel and toe work. Let's all get in the spirit and yes, dance with the dolly with the hole in the stocking with Sassy Sally Mason. Yes, do it.
As I was walking down the street, down the street, down the street, I met somebody who was mighty sweet, mighty, mighty fantasy. I asked her, would she like to have a talk, make some talk, all the fellas standing on the wall, wishing they were me. Oh, mama, mama, let me dress up tonight, dress up tonight, dress up tonight. Got a little secret, gonna fess up tonight, I'm gonna dance by the light of the moon. I'm on the dance with the dolly, with the hole in the stocking. Dolly knees keep a knocking, and toes keep a rocking. Dance with the dolly, with the hole in the stocking. Dance right by the lighting of the moon. Dolly with the hole in the stocking, while the knees keep a knocking and toes keep a rocking. Dance with Dolly with the hole in the stocking. Gonna dance, gonna dance, by the lion all that silvery moon.
Well, gentlemen of the AEF, here's a young lady who's traveled many thousands of miles to entertain you. She really deserves a niche in that good old G.I. Hall of Fame. Men, a Christmas command performance for Frances Langford.
Thanks, Kay, and Christmas greetings, fellas. It's customary to answer the request you write in, and this is no time to break an old custom. So regards to everybody at Navy 232, B.L. Swanson and all at 726. Scoop, Uncle, and Leroy, Navy 152. Also, Soda the Cat. Ralph and the homesick Seabees with the 72nd, the gang in Hut 261, Van the Flying Dutchman, Ray the Yankee Clipper, Mig the Whap, Rube the Swede, Ken the Shoplifter, and Jelly Belly O'Connor. The whole gang at 464. And all of you who have taken the trouble to drop me a line during the year. Here's the song you've asked me to do over and over again. It Had to Be You.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be me, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. For nobody else gives me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. wonderful you. It had to be you. I hadn't anyone till you. I was a lonely one till you. Nobody else gave me a thrill with all your force. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you.
Thanks a lot, Franny. That was swell. Well, fellas, every week, Command Performance is snowed under with a flock of requests for the familiar sounds of home. All kinds of sounds. The neighbor's piano, flivver horns, the 5 o'clock whistle, a girl saying no. All the sounds of home. Why, only yesterday a sergeant in Honolulu asked us if he could hear someone giving his mother-in-law a hot foot. Well, naturally, we can't do that because there's no smoking in this theater. But what we are going to do is take a GI in New Guinea and let him listen to the sounds of his typical day back home when he was a good old civilian in Middletown, USA. He got up at 7 a.m. in those days, the loafer. And this was the first sound you would have heard in his bedroom. But of course, Joe finally did get up. And after he'd sleepily dressed himself, he groped his way to the bathroom where he gave himself a thorough washing. At 8:30, he arrives at the corner filling station where he works as an attendant. And a few minutes later comes in his first customer.
Yes, sir.
Fill her up.
Well, you don't hear that anymore, fellas. Later that morning at work, Joe gets word that his aunt had been taken suddenly ill. And early that afternoon, we find him at the hospital visiting her.
Skokan here. Get your Skokan here. You can't tell one player without another Skokan here.
Peanuts, Cracker Jack, chewing gum. Peanuts, Cracker Jack, chewing gum.
Ah, yes, chewing gum. You don't hear that anymore either, fellas. Well, it's a great game, and Joe enjoys every inning of it. His Dodgers are behind by a run as they come to bat for the last half of the ninth. But the bases are full with two out, and their slugger is up.
It's 3-2 on the batter. Here's the windup. The pitch. There it goes! There it goes! There it goes! Yeah, there goes the ball game. He struck out.
And so Joe disconsolately wins his way home. A bit thirsty, he pours himself a glass of milk. Hey. Just a minute, I said milk.
Whose day is this, yours or mine?
Oh, beg pardon. Well, it's after dinner now, and Joe has a date. Yes, just a boy and girl in the good old days. And all Joe wants are the simple little pleasures he loves so dearly.
Cut it out, wise guy.
I see, and that's the saga of Joe. The sound story of a GI before he became government issue. Night finds him once more, just as we met him this morning. Ah, well. Sleep well, Joe. Pleasant dreams. Yes, you're going to need pleasant dreams, Joe. Because when the mailman comes tomorrow morning, boy, are you going to get some greetings. Thank you. thanks a lot. You know, our next guest on this little mistletoe taffy pull is one of the most glamorous girls in Hollywood. Yes, sir. Years ago, a girl had to have it. Then it went out of fashion, and a girl had to have oomph. After oomph came, well, whatever it is, she's got it, brother. The gorgeous Dorothy L'Amour. Fellas, while she was singing, I figured out what she's got. It's oomph, it, and particularly boing! No, seriously, Dorothy, that was lovely. Almost as pretty as you are, child.
Well, thank you, Kay.
You know, Dorothy, I can't understand why you've never asked me to, you know, never asked to have me in one of those romantic pictures of yours. You knew I was available, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Kay. But there just hasn't been a part that fits you.
Well, why couldn't I have been in that last picture you made called Rainbow Island?
But that was a story where a man and I were cast away all alone on a desert island.
Gee, I'd have liked that. On that island, we couldn't have anything to do all day but tell each other how beautiful we are.
Well, that leaves me with no dialogue.
Oh, I suppose you're going to tell me that Bob Hope is more of a lover type than I am.
Well, you'd be surprised about Bob. He and I have had some wonderful... had some wonderful love scenes.
Love scenes,
wonderful,
huh?
Love scenes. In one picture, it was very romantic. He drew me into his arms, and then I looked up, and there was a beautiful crescent-shaped moon.
That was Hope's nose.
Kay, you shouldn't talk about Bob like that.
And why not? I don't know what you can see in a guy like him. What a phony. Where's the glamour? Where's the romance? Where's the good looks?
Hello, Dorothy.
Where's the exit? Now, look, Bob, I got a great idea for your next road picture.
I'm standing by.
It'll be about my hometown. Now, we'll call it The Road to Rocky Mount, Bow Weevil County, North Carolina.
That's 20 minutes of the picture right there.
Now, Bob, I'll be the star, and it's all about me. Now, in the first scene, I'm reading a letter from my folks, and it says, "Come on home, Kay. All is forgiven." Even your radio program?
Look, LSMFT, is Dorothy in this super... Is Dorothy in this super epic?
Why, sure, she's what gave me the idea. You know, Miss Lemoore is a lot like the state of Carolina. Take her eyes. That's the blue sky. And her shoulders. That's the curve of the coastline. And her sarong.
That's the solid south.
Well, let's get back to the picture. Now, the road to North Carolina. We start out, and after we've gone a few miles, we make a little detour.
Detour?
Yeah, we have to go around a big stack of tobacco. Then a little farther on, we come to another stack of tobacco.
Look, couldn't we come across a pile of irium somewhere in here? Let's not be selfish. I've got to live too, you know.
Okay, now we keep on going, and suddenly when we turn a corner, we see a big lump in the middle of the road.
I knew we'd come to Crosby sooner or later.
Yep, Bob.
Don't kick it. It may be a relative. Go ahead.
Yes, Bob. Sounds like all of yours are here tonight. Yes, Bob, it's Bing, all right, and we pick him up because he's worried.
Well, he ought to be. With four kids, it's a long way between service stations. Now, fellas, we bring you one of the brightest young stars ever to flash across the entertainment world. Loads of charm, bursting with talent, a really thrilling personality, effervescent, magnetic, dynamic Danny Kaye. Well, how are you tonight, Danny? Pretty good?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'll bet you have something really sensational for the Christmas Command performance, huh?
Uh-huh.
Something will really rock 'em and lay 'em in the aisles, huh?
Uh-huh.
What personality? What magnetism?
Uh-huh.
Is uh-huh all you can say?
Uh-uh. Yeah.
Well, say something else, for goodness sake.
И драспочиньожис из лезис брабхоп из трос починялил курдрур и снал бреснел гвардош снелба. Кормял.
What does that mean?
Uh-huh.
This is ridiculous. I thought you were supposed to be a comedian, Danny.
Oh, I am, Bob, but there's no sense trying to top you, the great Bob Hope. Why, you have loads of charm. You're bursting with talent, a really thrilling personality. Effervescent, magnetic, dynamic Bob Hope.
Uh-huh.
And besides, Bob, my files only go back to 1937.
Yes, that is a disadvantage. My ad-libs go clear back to Prohibition.
That's what I figured. So if you don't mind, Bob, I'll just sing.
All right, Danny, what's it going to be?
Well, I've had quite a few letters asking for the lobby number from the picture Up in Arms. And so, this, if you remember, is a scene that takes place in the movie theater. And, of course, it's a musical picture, and all musical pictures are alike. So, supposing you do get in the theater, and you do get a seat, and the woman in front does take her hat off, and you do get a look at the screen, what do you see?
Manic Depressive Pictures present... Roar!
Roar!
Hello, Fresno, goodbye! Produced by our humanic and directed by Depressive.
Now you know the name of the picture and you'd like to see it. But now...
Screenplay by Gluck, from a stage play by Mutz, from a story by Blip, from a chapter by Rung, from a sentence by Dokes, from a comma by Stokes, from an idea by Gropes, based on a Joe Miller's a joke.
Now you know the name of the picture and who wrote it, and you'd still like to see it. But now...
Art direction, finger puff interiors, Minerva buff photography, Alonzo Tech recorded sound, as Needleback upholstery by Zachary, Knickknackery by Thackeray, Tipsickery by Dickery, and Dickery by Doc. Now finally, at last, comes the picture. And what do we see? The same old beautiful chorus girls. The opening scene is a ranch in Fresno, California. So what are they singing? When it's cherry blossom time in Orange, New Jersey, I will make a peach of a pear. I know we can't elope, so honey, do be mine. And if... Up from the gulch rides a hunk of man. He is a hero, cowboy Dan, a galloping, yodeling buckaroo. His horse, of course, is a baritone, too.
I've got that old wagon wheel inside of me.
Yahoo! I've got that. Yahoo! The girls are delighted to hear this. But where is our heroine? As the bell rings for lunch, we find our heroine in the corral eating a hard out. She is Mary Sue Ann, the tap-dancing daughter of an American juggling act who left her on the doorstep of an old English castle where she was found by Sir Basil Metabolism, who said, "By Jove, a girl baby! I shall raise her as my own daughter," which she did. But she wants to marry Cowboy Dan, whom she met on the strip, and it was Robert's first act, and she wants to tap dance. The Cowboy Dan, who she met, wants her to tap dance, but she knows Sir Basil will never fit this. Never, never, never! That's why she is eating her heart out. But through her tears, she is singing a happy little song, because she is also a coloratura soprano. Beside herself. Her favorite position. She rushes to her father.
Oh, father, you must let me marry Cowboy Dan. He owns the biggest ranch in Texas.
Bar none.
Cowboy Dan cannot believe his ears. Bar none? Well, that's the password of the FBI. It can't be. No, no. Yes, yes. No, no. Yes, yes. No, no. Yes, yes. No, no. Yes, yes. It can't be.
But it was.
He rushes to Mary Sue Ann. Mary Sue Ann, you must help me. Can you tap out a message in code? This is a big chance. Now she can tap dance, which she does. But what has she done? She has betrayed her own father. But he isn't her father. He is Heinrich von Schlucken von Godes Blum and Heinrich de Blum Godes at the Hull for the Prime, this Hull, Hull for the Prime. Godes Blum.
Blum, Hull, Hull. The Frau Blum.
And... The dangerous German spy. Stick up your hands, you dirty rat, and gout is flirting, and agent blast. So I have the FBI finally captured German spy. Dan and Mary about to blend. You think the picture's about to end? But no. Who ever heard of a musical picture without Carmelita Pepita? The Bolivian bombshell.
I wish you could come with me to my little village in Bolivia. So peaceful there are the purple mountains with the lovely mist and the shining stars. And the little people who live so simple and quiet. And every night all they want to do is...
Conga!
Conga!
Our next guest is so important that no one man can introduce him. So I've asked Fred Allen to return to the microphone and help me. Start it off, Fred.
All right, Bob. You know, gang, we've been rummaging around in the Command Performance mailbag, and we've found lots of requests for W.C. Fields.
Yeah, especially around the holiday season with New Year's Eve. I didn't think, Your Honor. How did they hide that joke on me? Now, from APO 704 comes a letter signed Puddin' Puddin' Souders, Mick the Chick, Shotgun Sipes, and Wino the Wolf.
And so, for those guys and all the others, Mr. W.C. Fields. Mr. W.C.
Thank you, Fred Allen, and thank you, Bob Hope. And thank you. Now I'll start to read the line. Yeah, I said that, didn't I? Throughout the Middle Ages, the use of liquor was universal, and drunkenness was so common, it was unnoticed. They called it the Middle Ages because no one was able to walk home unless they were between two other fellows. I was the middle guy. Now, before I go any further, please do not labor under the misconception that I always have been a teetotaler. In my younger days, I was prone to take a nip. I chortle now at that former weakness in my otherwise strong character. But how well I remember my first encounter with the devil's brew. I happened to stumble across a typographical error. I happened to stumble across a case of bourbon and went right on stumbling for several days thereafter. Of course, now I touch nothing stronger than buttermilk. 90 proof buttermilk. I look on my days of revelry with scorn and reproachment and shudder. When I recall going to the corner saloon, tugging at my daddy's coattails and saying, "Father, dear father, come home with me now and bring a jug with you." However, I came from a very illustrious family. My great-grandfather was a friend of Benjamin Franklin. In fact, my great-grandfather would have discovered electricity, but he was too poor to buy a kite.